Judges chapter 6. That will be our text for this evening, Judges chapter 6. It is good to see everyone out. This Lord's Day is about to come to a close, and we all engage in busy weeks ahead. This is a good time for us, before that time starts, to come together. The lesson this evening is going to deal with changes that take place in life. In fact, the name of the lesson is Time to Grow Up. We're dealing in a time right now where a lot of younger people are shifting in where they were in their life. Some of our young people are graduating from high school. We've had young people who have graduated from college. And if that hasn't happened to you, then we've got young people who are just moving to a different phase. And that's a really exciting time. And you start trying to figure out, you know, what's next year going to be like. And as you get older and the higher grades come and you start moving one from another, you start thinking of deeper questions, deeper responsibilities that come your way. Who am I? What am I going to do in life? How am I to serve God? There is a natural desire on our part to grow. It's true with all. God put it in us. Sometimes we think, though, that growth is simply the privilege of someone growing physically. I won't tell you which brother it was. I probably shouldn't say which brother it was. But one of my brothers gave my mom and dad fits sometimes. And I remember one time my brother looked at my dad and he said, "When are you going to treat me like a grown-up?" My dad said, "When you act like a grown-up." Growing up is not about facial hair. It's not about turning 18 or 19 or 21 years old. It is about maturing and acting like someone who will be responsible in life. And that's a hard thing to figure out sometimes. Sometimes younger people try to figure out, how do I do this? What's my role model as I grow? Who do I look to? Well, in Judges chapter 6, we find what I believe to be someone who is an excellent role model in growing up. In Judges chapter 6, we come across a young man by the name of Gideon. And when we are first introduced to Gideon, we find a young man who is working in secret to hide grain from the Midianites who are oppressing God's people at this period of time. And yet by the end of the story of Gideon, we find a man who became a great leader and a great general. He begins the story avoiding conflict, but by the end of the story, he assumes responsibility and lives up to the challenges that before. And that's growth. That's the process of growth. I don't know how old Gideon was here. It's really quite irrelevant. We do know from verse 15 that was read a few moments ago that he still considered himself under his father's rule, which still a man in his 30s could be under his father's rule in biblical times. But he was a man who did not view his own independence. He viewed himself in relation to his father. And that's part of youth. But when you begin to step out on your own and you begin to assume the responsibilities that are there, that's what growth is all about. And so many of you young people are moving into that period now. And I want to ask you to listen closely tonight. Not because of the words that I have to say, but because of the biblical example here. And I want to bring up four lessons that I pray that you'll take with you as you strive to figure out who you are and how you will serve God within your life. First of all, I want us to look at the idea of assuming responsibility. If you want to grow in maturity and be a responsible person, you need to assume responsibility within your life. Derek read a few moments ago from Judges chapter 6. Beginning in verse 11, we are introduced to Gideon. The angel of the Lord appears before him. And I want you to notice verse 12 when the angel of the Lord appears before him. Very interesting verse. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, what was he just doing? He was just hiding at this moment as he worked on this grain to hide from the Midianites. He wasn't doing this in public. And yet the angel of the Lord looked at him and said, "You mighty man of valor." And the first thing I want you to realize is God looks at the heart of the individual. You and I, you look at yourself right now, young people, you think, you know, I haven't accomplished anything, I haven't done anything, but the Lord knows what's inside of you. And the Lord knows what you're full of, the potential that's there for you to grow and do great things in His kingdom. Gideon didn't appear to be such a person at this moment, but that's what the angel called him. And in verse 14, Gideon is given a charge. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Now, the Midianites were the oppressors of God's people at the moment. And all Israel was looking for a deliverer. Gideon did not think it would be him. And yet he was told, you're going to be the one to deliver. Well, in the next verse, Gideon begins to make excuses. Verse 15, so he said, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Responsibility was placed before him, and as we all do at some point in our life, we begin to sort of pull away from that responsibility. I'm not ready for this yet. Your parents suggest maybe it's time that you go and find a summer job. I don't know if I'm ready for this. Maybe it's time you start taking on this responsibility. We back away. Gideon did that. But the angel pressed on. Verse 16. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. No ifs, ands, or buts. End of discussion. The charge is placed before you now. What will you do? Growing up demands one accepts certain responsibilities. While you're a young child, you can go around playing with the dolls all you want to. But there comes a point when you have to say, you know what, I've got to step up. And I've got to assume certain responsibilities. So I've got three responsibilities here I want you to think about. First of all, your responsibility for your actions. Your responsibility for your actions. What do little children do? I've got three of them right now. And if something's broken in the house, fingers start going in different directions. Who did it? Not me. Maturity says you're going to step up and you're going to start saying, look, these are some things I did. As you grow, you make mistakes sometimes in your choices. You know what? Your parents understand that. You may sometime hang around the wrong friends and they may get you in trouble. Accept the responsibility for that choice. You need to accept the responsibility to obey your parents. I know it's hard sometimes. But Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 through 3 tell young people their responsibility is to obey their parents. But then there's also the responsibility for your life. Start hitting high school, college, and you start trying to figure out, what am I going to do for a living? What are the obstacles that are ahead of me? What do I want to engage in within life? What kind of education do I need? And what your parents want to see at this time? It's mature decisions on your part to show that you are engaging yourself in those responsibilities there and you're taking them very seriously. But without question, the most important area that you need to begin to show responsibility within your life is the area of your soul. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Matthew 16, verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said here that your soul is your most valuable asset within your life. Nothing else comes close to it. What are you doing with it? While you're talking about your job and the job that you want to engage in, and while you're talking about the grades that you want to have, are you accepting the responsibility of the greatest gift that you have been given? What parents want to see, if they are going to begin to grant independence to young people, is that young people are thinking about very serious issues. And the soundest, most mature choice you can make in your life is to become a Christian. And when you live up to that choice, and you show your parents you're not going to run from that choice, but you will accept the difficult challenge that responsibility brings with you, and you'll make it in a wise way. I'll tell you this. Your parents will begin trusting you more and more every day when you accept the responsibilities that are there. And within this is the responsibility to live like a Christian. We're not talking about just getting wet. We're talking about living a changed life. We're talking about one who, as a young child, gives himself over in service to God. You think about, what would God want me to do here? How does God expect me to behave? And that's reflected when you come to worship services. You take this seriously because we are before our God collectively. You take the idea of prayer very seriously. You take the idea of your lesson very seriously because this isn't a joking matter. This is a heavy responsibility that's laid before your feet. Now, if you don't feel like you're ready to assume that responsibility, all right, but you're also not ready to grow up. Once you say, I'm ready to grow up, you're ready to assume the responsibilities that are there, just as Gideon had to assume this heavy responsibility that's placed upon him. Part of living as a Christian is help other people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, we are to do good to all men. One of the characteristics of youth is selfishness. I want what's mine. Mine, 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 mine. When do I eat? When do I get this? But as you grow and mature, you start thinking about other people. That's what God expects out of us. Jesus also said that His role was to seek and save the lost. One of the awesome responsibilities of a child of God is to reach out to other people as well. You see, there are responsibilities that are laid before you. The immature person runs from these. All right? The one who is not ready to accept that responsibility runs and they don't want to deal with it. If you want to be viewed as someone who is mature and growing, you accept this responsibility and say, look, there are things that need to be done. It's time to start doing them. And when you do that, then you start showing your parents that you're ready for life. Start making your own money instead of mooching off mom and dad all the time. I know it's easier to mooch off mom and dad. I did it some myself. But there comes a point you say, you know what, I'm going to take care of this. And I'll assume this responsibility. Start paying attention during worship services. Start becoming involved. And I'm not talking here so much in a public, formal way. I'm just saying engage yourself. Engage your soul when you praise God. Engage your soul when you study God's Word. Assume the responsibility. Well, that's what Gideon did. But Gideon didn't stop there. When Gideon learned of the awesome responsibility that was placed upon his back, one of the questions that he had, going back to Judges chapter 6, was, I need some kind of sign. Verse 17, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. He wanted a test. Aside from the idea of assuming responsibility within your life, you need to start testing your faith. Adam talked about this several weeks ago in a lesson, Testing Your Faith. And the idea there is that there comes a point when your faith has to be your faith. You cannot continue to live going by the coattails of your parents. There comes a point where you have to say, what do I believe, and have I tested it, and once I've tested it, am I ready to engage in it? Now, some religious groups don't encourage this. Teresa has been engaged over the last several months in a Bible study with a religious group that does not encourage people to study on their own, except within the very restricted parameters that they lay down. They do not allow people to take material given by other religions. And I came into a Bible study and taught some and asked the lady, do you study and are you interested in what other people have to say? She goes, why should I be? There are a lot of people who they don't want to test their faith because that makes us very uncomfortable. We're very content as long as we can say, well, this is what the Bible says. Well, how do you know it? That's another issue altogether. So we don't always test. And what we end up doing, brethren, is we're just like blind people. Walking around, doing what everyone else has done, and sure, we may condemn denominations, but we're doing the same thing. Because this faith has not become ours. We haven't tested it. So what Gideon knew, if I'm going to assume this responsibility, I need to test it. And I need to make sure this is what God wants. And when you start looking especially at the eternal responsibility of your soul, you need to ask yourself, what does God want out of me? And how do I do this? How do I know this is the way God wants me to be? Well, the Scriptures encourage this. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. John, here writing to Christians. Said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. What's the admonition there? The admonition to Christians and to young Christians is test the spirits. Don't accept what someone says just because they're the preacher. They're the elder. You test it for yourself. Isn't that what, as Brother Paul alluded to this morning, the noble Bereans did? In Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. You do not find in scripture the idea that you and I need to be afraid of talking to anyone. Someone tells you that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, you open up your Bible and you study with them. Someone tells you that the Pope is the leader of the church, you open up your Bible and study with them. Some people say, well, I don't believe that. I don't want to study with them. Why not? You will never grow unless you challenge yourself. I went through this period in my life when Teresa and I began dating. She was a member of a denomination. I could tell you all the things that I had been taught about salvation, about the work of the church. I knew the answers, but it was not until she and I began to study and she questioned me that I began to understand why I believed what I believed. Until my faith was tested. Now, how do you test your faith? You don't lay out food and wait for it to be burned up like here. You open up the Word of God. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us that it is through the Word of God that we challenge what we believe and we show growth within our life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do I go about growing spiritually? I study diligently. You talk to a friend, you talk to a girl you're interested in, you talk to a boy that you're interested in, young ladies, and they have different denominational beliefs. And what you start doing is you start opening up your Bible so that you can tell them what you believe the Word of God teaches and you test what you believe. Don't ever run from that. You're never going to grow that way. And had Gideon not tested what he believed, he wouldn't have grown. Test it. Make your faith your own. And if you don't test it, someone else will. Working in Starkville, Mississippi with a congregation there, a college town, there were a lot of young people who went into a philosophy class or a biology class and their faith was rattled. Why? Because they hadn't tested it. They just had this idea that mom and dad have said this and this is good enough for me until a philosophy teacher gets in there and he runs circles around you. Not because he has truth, but because he's good at debating. And his goal is not truth, it's to win. And that's going to happen to you if you don't go in there and test what you believe. But when you test what you believe, and you have confidence in what you believe, then you can get ready for the next move, which Gideon was. And once Gideon saw that this was indeed the work of God, then that encouraged him to assume the responsibility once his faith had been tested. And let me bring out one other point as well. As we see later in the story, verse 38, Gideon is about to go and take on his father, first of all. But then he's going to go and take on 135,000 Midianites and Amalekites. And he's scared. And his faith is confirmed. But as we come to verse 38, 36, 37, and 38, he tests his faith again. As he's about to gather together this army, he's about to go and face the Midianites. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early in the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung out the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. And Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Now, here's the point. Gideon had tested his faith. And it had proven true. We'll see in the next few points that he acted upon it. But suddenly, after he acted upon it, he had to test it again. Why was it that he tested his faith once more? The testing of your faith is not a one-time only event, young people. It is a lifelong event. It is something that you will continue to do every day of your life. As you listen to other people's points of view and other people's beliefs, even within the Lord's body sometimes. As you listen to different views some people have on different subjects, and you study, and you test, It's never something that's over and you never have to test it again. You just sort of put it aside in a nice little box and say, whew, I'm glad I'm past that. No, it's got to be something real and alive every day of your life. Third point, have courage. Look again in Judges chapter 6. We find in verse 25 that Gideon was given an immediate task. A responsibility was laid before him in verse 14 to destroy the Midianites, but there was an immediate task given to him in verse 25. Verse 25, it came to pass that same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. Take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood on the image which you shall cut down. Now, what a responsibility that was. Now Gideon's going to have to stand against his father. That's the immediate task. But notice what the angel said to him, verse 12 and verse 14. Again in verse 12, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And then in verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? The message given to Gideon was, have courage, have strength, because I am with you. Young people, if you can have that certainty within your life, that you know everything you do because God is with you, and you can have courage, then you'll face anything. And the encouragement to him here is, God's with you. God will work with you. In Joshua chapter 1, as the children of Israel came into the land of Canaan, what a daunting task that was. To clear out a heathen land of heathen people. And yet as you look in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 9, God tells Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Gideon struck off. What was his task? To take down his father's idol to a false god. Well, as you look at verse 27, we find he did it. But notice how he did it. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. You say, what happened to the courage? He did it by night because he was afraid. But he did it, didn't he? It took courage on his part still to go and do it even at night. The lesson here is godly courage does not mean one has no fear. Listen. Godly courage means that you do not allow your fear to keep you from doing what needs to be done. There may be other Christians who are more fearless than you are and more courageous sometimes, but you take the courage that you have and you work in the kingdom of God to accomplish His will. Growing up is scary. You've got all these thoughts running around in your mind. It's scary to step out on your own. It's scary to try to decide what you're going to do in life. Scared to think of the responsibilities of getting married. Scared to think of the responsibility of having children. Scared to think about the responsibility of becoming a Christian and living as a Christian. I understand that. Those fears are going to be there, just as Gideon faced fears. But don't let the fear of something keep you from acting. Regardless of how scary the proposition of assuming responsibility may be, when you've tested it and you found that course is true, then get ready to act upon it. Have courage within your life. Which brings us to the final point. Act on your convictions. Gideon did what was required of him. Look at verse 28. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was on and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. Gideon did exactly what needed to be done. He grew during this process. And then we find in verse 35 that he assembled a great army. And in chapter 7 and 8, he takes that army and whittles it down to 300 men and goes against 135,000 Midianites and Amalekites. You do the math. That means every man has to take on 450 Midianites and Amalekites. But he acted. He saw what needed to be done, and he assumed the responsibility. Talking about responsibility, testing your faith, speaking of courage, do nothing if you don't act. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 5. Proverbs 10, verse 5. The proverb writer begins to establish this point. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. They say, what in the world does that have to do with what we're talking about? The wise son is the one, we find in verse 5, who gathers in summer. He is planned in planning and preparing, and he acts when the seed is ready. Who is the one who is the fool? The son who causes shame, the one who sleeps in the harvest. He's made all the plans. I'm going to have this huge harvest, but he doesn't do anything about it. He assumed the responsibility to plant, perhaps tested the soil, got out there and worked, but he didn't finish the job. James, in James chapter 1, verse 22, puts it in a way that we are somewhat more familiar with. James 1, 22, where James says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what separates the men from the boys and the girls from the women. What are you going to do once you realize what your responsibility is? What are you going to do once you've tested what you believe? What are you going to do once you've been encouraged to have faith? Are you just going to continue to sit there? There's a terrible illustration of this in Joshua chapter 24, where Joshua, as he's coming, and you remember the scene to the end of his life, and he stands before his people, and I'm convinced he saw so many weaknesses there. In verse 15, he lays a responsibility before them. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He called them to accept the responsibility. What was their response? Look at verse 18. The Lord drove out from before us all the people here speaking, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Look at verse 21. In the verses between there, Joshua is saying, you better think about this, and you better make sure that you're ready to make this commitment. But in verse 21, the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua admonishes them once more, you need to think about what you're doing here. If you're ready to assume this responsibility, verse 24, the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey. We're there. Excuse me. We're ready to assume this responsibility. But unfortunately, as you come to the book of Judges, you find in Judges chapter 1 a drumbeat of failure. These tribes who had assumed the responsibility, tested God, and been encouraged to have faith. In chapter 1, we see beginning in verse 27, going through verses 29, 31, 33, Manasseh fails, Asher fails, Naphtali fails, one right after the other. They didn't act on their convictions. I know so many of you have grown up in godly homes, and you've got everything up there. I don't have any question about that. But the question is, well, you have the courage to act on it. To say, this is who I am. It's not who my parents are. It's not who my friends are. This is me. This is the way I will choose to live my life. The reward goes not to the one who starts the task. The reward goes to the one who completes it. So young people, what are the things that you need to act upon this evening? You know what they are. If you feel that you're at the point where more responsibility needs to be given to me, what are the things that you need to do? You know that you need to do a better job submitting to your parents? Then do it. Don't make any excuses. Act on it. Do you know that you need to hang around better friends? Then do it. Do you know that you need to be a better Christian? Do it. You know you need to become a Christian. Don't talk about growing up and having the mantle of manhood or womanhood placed upon you until you're ready to step up here and act upon what it means to be a man or a woman. Gideon is a remarkable character. Because in this one chapter, we find a young man who grew up, hiding at the beginning under the oversight of his father, and yet by the end of the chapter, a man who is willing to go out there and do what needs to be done in the service of God. I want to encourage you tonight to grow up and act upon your convictions. So how do you grow? Follow the example of Gideon. Assume responsibility. Test your faith. Have courage. And act upon your convictions. And I will guarantee you, in most cases, if your parents see those things from you this very evening, they will begin to give you the independence that you feel like you're ready for. But only if you're ready to do these things. So what are you willing to do tonight? I hope you've also realized that this isn't just a lesson to young people. This is also a lesson for older people who are still immature. Older people who let the responsibilities of life pass them by. So where are you this evening? What does the lesson of Gideon tell you? I hope you see tonight that it's time for us to get up and grow. All of us, every member here. And assume the responsibilities that God has placed before you. Now, if you're ready to do this evening, if you're ready to say, you know what, I need to become a Christian. I put it off, but this is a mature decision, and I'm ready to make this decision. Then you can be baptized this evening. You stand ready to help. We will pray with you, take that confession, and you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. Your sins will be washed away, and you'll start that wonderful road to being a follower of God. If you're a child of God, you recognize that you have not been the responsible, grown-up person that you need to be. You've run from responsibility. Stop running. Stop running this thing. Learn from giving. While we stand, while we stand for you.